This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Jan, it's almost 6 p.m., so I suppose I could say good evening. And considering the darkness we've been experiencing and we're going to be experiencing, I suppose good evening is apt.
Yes, it is indeed. Our load shedding's back. It's cold. It's rainy. It's a perfect storm, as it were.
And there's an unintended pun there, because with the storm and with the lightning and with everything else contributing towards wet coal and everything else that's going on, we seem to be back in the midst of load shedding. Tell me, Jan, from your experience, what is the worst case scenario with respect to Eskom and blackouts this coming winter?
So this is from Eskom themselves. Obviously, the worst case scenario is Eskom not being able to actually mitigate the problems and the whole grid going down. But Eskom is not even entertaining that notion. They're saying, you know, that's not a possibility. There will always be more load to shed rather than having the whole grid go down. But the worst case, the worst case scenario being projected by Eskom is not great either. They're talking about 100 days of load shedding during winter as a worst case scenario. Now, obviously, that's if a lot of things go wrong at once, which it has done before. But yeah, that's the kind of worst case scenario Eskom itself is planning for. 100 days of load shedding, and that's on the back of, you know, colder weather, losing a bunch of capacity due to breakdowns, that sort of thing. So you know, that's Eskom's worst case scenario. Hopefully we end up in an actual scenario that's not nearly that bad, but certainly there are going to be a few days of load shedding in winter. That's the message from Eskom. You know, it might not be 100 days, but we're looking at a lot of load shedding this coming winter, unfortunately.
Jan, from your perspective, an average household, what should they be looking at in terms of mitigating risk? Because we know that this is a reality. Should they be looking at solar? Should they be looking at Jenny? Should they be looking at inverters? What would you suggest the average household have?
Yeah, it depends. Obviously, depends on your budget. Generators can be cheap to buy compared to solar, but the running costs add up, especially with the petrol price or the fuel price. You know, it can be a diesel generator as well, doing what it's doing. Solar, the upfront cost is much higher, but your total cost of ownership probably not be as high as trying to power your whole house with a generator. But it all depends on what you want to do. Do you just want to power, say, like a TV, your fiber router, and a couple of laptops? Or do you want to keep your whole house online? That drastically affects the costs. The by far the cheapest way to get through a bout of 2 hours of load shedding in the winter is going to be non-electric heaters of some sort. Which come with their own set of risks, but yeah, be that as it may, gas heaters to keep the family warm, and then batteries. So that can either be battery banks to keep your phones charged, laptops with built-in batteries that will last at least 2 hours to get through a bout of load shedding, and then you charge them afterwards. Or if you need, you know, you want to keep the internet router up and maybe keep a desktop computer powered and keep the TV and the DStv on, that sort of thing, then you're going to be looking at a larger battery and an uninterruptible power supply of some sort, a UPS with a built-in inverter. And, you know, all of these are much cheaper than going completely off-grid. But I can imagine that there are plenty of households out there that have gone, you know what, enough is enough, we're going off-grid. And then there's plenty of options out there. It all depends on exactly what you want to do. Do you want to be slightly grid tied, completely off grid? Couple of decisions you have to make. Excuse me, but that will probably cost you around 200,000 rand on an average household to go completely off grid, and that's not even completely counting the cost of, you know, replacing stuff like your oven with your stove with gas, your geyser with gas, all those kind of conversions that you need to do. So going, you know, saying goodbye to Eskom entirely is expensive, but there are cheaper ways of just protecting yourself during load shedding.
Jan Vermeulen, thank you so much for that advice. It's something that people do need to look at, and I look forward to chatting again soon.
Yes, let's chat again soon. Keep well.
That was Jan Vermeulen, editor-at-large for My Broadband, with his weekly insert, Hot Tech, helping us understand the worst-case scenario in respect of Eskom and what we can do to mitigate the risk.